I would like to call to order the House Committee on Transportation Policy for February 19th, and I'm going to open a public hearing and a possible work session for Senate Bill 1532A, and I will ask for us to call Senator Johnson, and would you be able to do that?
Oh, sure.
And then give us just a very relaxed and...
Sure, Madam Chair. I'll start with the very quick overview of this pretty simple bill. Senate Bill 1532A modifies the definition of motor-assisted scooter for purposes of the Oregon Vehicle Code to allow scooters with up to four wheels and to allow scooters that do not utilize handlebar steering. The vote in this on the Senate floor was 27-0. There's no fiscal impact, no revenue impact. There's no amendments before the committee on this, Madam Chair. And like as you indicated, Senator Johnson is stuck in Scappoose this morning, so we will call her so she can testify by phone, Madam Chair.
Senator.
I think that's
Johnson.
Hello, this is Chair McLean, and we are happy to do your bill today. And
good morning. Thank you for this accommodation. Where I live in Scappoose, it's a little snowy and a little icy, so having a little more time this morning was lovely.
Very good. So you are first, and we've opened a public hearing and a possible work session.
Wonderful. Well, Senate Bill 1532, which passed the Senate unanimously, fixes a technical problem. Current statute defines a motor-assisted scooter as being designed to operate on the ground with not more than three wheels, and having handlebars for the operator's use. For many elderly, disabled, or challenged individuals, four wheels on the ground is a more stable and reassuring platform than three wheels. Four-wheeled motor-assisted scooters will alleviate the user's concern about operating a mobility-assisted device on steep inclines or curb cutouts by offering this more stable four wheels on the ground. The bill also changes how the mobility device is operated. It specifically removes the reference to handlebars. And so this bill brings clarity to users, ODOT, and local police departments. ODOT testified in favor of the bill, but added a little bit to the record. And I don't know if Amy Joyce is in the room, but on the Senate side, she built the record about general safe operating conditions. And that is Senate Bill 1532, colleagues.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Senator Johnson? And Senator Johnson, Amy is in the audience, and we're going to call her up right now to put it on our record.
Great. I'll just hang out here while she testifies.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for getting here on this challenging morning.
Chair McLean and members of the committee, my name is Amy Joyce from the Department of Transportation, today representing our safety division. And as Senator Johnson indicated, I'm going to do the same thing here in the House as I did in the Senate, just putting a little bit of information on the record about what this very small bill actually does. As indicated by the Senator, it changes a definition. What the impact upon that is that then it influences what kind of vehicles can be operated on the road in certain conditions. And it adds these four-wheeled scooters. So just again to make a record, folks who are operating these things have certain rights and responsibilities. So for example, like any other motor vehicle, you can't operate one of these things while you're under the influence. In addition, to operate one of these, you have to be over the age of 16, operation at no more than 15 miles per hour, on roads that have a maximum speed limit of 25 miles per hour, unless you're in the bike lane, hand signals for stops and turns, wearing a bicycle helmet. There are a number of statutes that have to do with these things. So I just wanted to establish that it's not as if somebody operating one of these things can go anywhere at any time and do anything. There are already existing statutes that talk about the constraints, and that's all I have for you today.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for being here. And are there any questions for staff? We're not waiting on any paperwork. There are no amendments. We've heard the testimony. It passed the Senate unanimously. And if you're all comfortable, I'd like to have the roll call.
Why don't we open a work session on this project?
I opened a possible work session, so now I'm going to open a work session.
Okay, sure.
And at this time, I'd like to ask...
Maybe have your vice chair make a motion.
That's what I was going to do.
Excellent.
And so I would like to ask if one of the vice chairs would like to give us a motion on this, please.
Madam Chair, I move that we pass Senate Bill 1532A with a due pass recommendation.
Our Vice Chair, Representative Vile, has moved Senate Bill 1532A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, I'll ask the committee assistant to please call the roll.
Representative Bonham.
Aye.
Representative Evans.
Yes.
Representative Noble.
Yes.
Representative Salinas.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Meek.
Aye.
Vice Chair Vile.
Aye.
Chair McClain.
Aye. It passes and will go on to the floor. And Senator Johnson, of course, if you have somebody on your bill that you know is on our committee, we can have them carry it.
Betsy,
well, it's not necessarily on the bill, but it was brought forward by a shared constituent in St. Helens, so that I share with Representative Witt.
Well, Representative Witt, would you like to carry this?
Most certainly would.
Okay, Representative Witt will carry that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, committee, for your courtesy, and I'm on the way off the hills of Scappoose.
Okay, thank you.
Drive carefully.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I am going to close the work session on Senate Bill 1532A, and I'm going to open a public hearing and also a work session on Senate Bill 1536A. And staff, if you would give us just a basic background on this, please.
Absolutely, absolutely, Madam Chair. Senate Bill 1536A provides that directors of certain mass transit districts be appointed by the governor rather than elected. It specifies that the current elected directors of a mass transit district may continue to serve until the expiration of their current terms, unless they are discharged at an earlier date by the governor. The measure also removes restrictions on methods of financing for certain mass transit districts effective January 1st, 2026. This measure comes to us from the Senate, where it was passed on the floor by a vote of 28-0. There's no fiscal impact to the measure, no revenue impact to the measure, and there are no amendments to the measure, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. At this time, then, I'm going to ask, we have folks here who want to testify on this, and if we could have you come up as a panel. We've got Bob Krebs, we've got Mayor Chuck Benton, and we've got, this is Anita Williams. Is it Nick? Maybe it's Nick. Nick, hi.
Good morning.
Your K looks different to me, sorry. And please just proceed as you have organized yourself. And your name for the record, please.
My name is Robert Krebs, and I live in Salem, Oregon. Chair McClain and members of the committee, my name is Bob Krebs, and I serve as president of the Salem Area Mass Transit District Board of Directors. Thank you for the opportunity to provide comments on behalf of the board in support of Senate Bill 1536A. We want to thank Senate President Courtney for his work on this bill and other transit efforts over the years. He's a true champion of transit, and we appreciate his willingness to tackle some of these hard issues. The Salem Area Mass Transit District provides fixed route transit and paratransit services to the Salem-Kaiser area and commuter service to the rural communities in Marion and Polk counties. The district also operates the 1X Wilsonville-Salem Express, which is heavily utilized by commuters between the Portland metro area and Oregon's capital city. The district is the transit provider for seniors and people with disabilities in the area throughout our Cherry Lift and Shop and Ride services. Without the district providing these vital opportunities to our most vulnerable populations, many would not have the ability to shop for food, attend medical appointments, or accomplish many of the necessities that we take for granted. Our main goal in everything that we do is to provide better transit services for our citizens. Senate Bill 1536A makes significant changes to the governance structure of the Salem Area Mass Transit District's board. It brings the capital city of Oregon in line with the transit governance model that is standard for comparable cities across the nation. In addition, Senate Bill 1536 provides the same funding mechanism utilized by other Oregon urban cities to help pay for the services the community so desperately needs. The board recognizes that Senate Bill 1536A includes a 7-year moratorium before any potential new funding system can be implemented by a vote of the board. The board supports Senate Bill 1536A with the 7-year moratorium. The board was able to arrive at this position because their number one goal is to assure that the transit system in Salem-Keizer meets the needs of the community. The bill, as written, contains provisions that will result in some current board members losing their position. That is a compromise the board is willing to accept solely due to the language providing the new board with the same funding options provided to other mass transit districts in Oregon. As such, we believe that the two major provisions of the bill, the governance model change and the funding mechanism, are intrinsically linked. This bill does not institute an employer payroll tax. This bill provides the option for the board to consider it if a future need arises. Any action to implement an employer payroll tax will require extensive outreach to the Salem community, including the business community. This bill would bring the district's board governance and finance structure in line with other urban centers across the state. Both TriMet and Lane Transit District have demonstrated success with this model. This new board would be able to make future decisions around the funding, after consultation with the community, Salem-Keizer's varied businesses and riders. The district's board of directors and staff are responsible financial stewards of the people's investment. This bill provides a compromise solution while charting a path forward where businesses, riders, advocates, and the general public can come together to govern their transit district. Thank you for considering this issue, and we urge you to support Senate Bill 1536A.
Thank you very much.
Representative McLean and members of the committee, my name is Nick Williams, and I serve as Chief Executive Officer for the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, and I'm here in support of Senate Bill 1536A. Our transit district locally has done a good job with the resources that they have available to them. We're not in debt. We also have a pretty fair amount in reserves, and our board of directors has been, they are good fiscal stewards of that organization. With the passage of last session's transportation package, it became evident to us as an organization and businesses in the community that there was a need for a change in the governance structure to provide our transit district consistency with transit districts around the state. And that's the reason that I'm here in support today. We're excited for this to pass. We're thankful for the entirety of our current elected transit board. As you well know, these are unpaid positions, and these are folks that serve simply because they have a passion for the issue. And Member Krebs has been a member of this body for a number of years, so thank you for your service. So with that, the Salem Area Chamber of Commerce, we're happy to support Senate Bill 1536.
Thank you very much. Mayor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, my name is Chuck Bennett. I'm mayor of the city of Salem, here in support of Senate Bill 1536A. I really don't have a lot to add, except that this has been strongly endorsed by the Salem City Council. We believe this is the best course for developing a really strong future for this particular transit district, which has had its own difficulties over the years. We think this takes us down the right road, and really thank Senator Courtney for his patience in working with all of the interested parties over the past year and a half to get this bill put together. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments for the panel? Yes, Representative Evans.
Thank you, Chair. I have two questions. First is why the governor, in terms of this particular board, is required to consult different bodies than TriMet and Lane for appointment.
I don't see the governor's representative here, but I think that would probably be, unless Mr. Krebs knows the answer, one of the lobbyists.
It's part of the negotiation, so.
Yeah.
I believe that the government, the governor will use the same criteria for appointing this board as the TriMet and the Lane board, which would be dealing with the community to see who are qualified people and who are willing to serve on the board.
So the same.
I think it would they would not be consulting TriMet or Lane Transit. I don't believe that. We just use them as a reference because they are under this governance package right now.
Okay.
And we would be under the same governance package.
So there's no difference in who she or he must consult regarding the now three, if this passes, three.
Well, I would assume the governor would consult with members of the community, leaders in the community, to find to find out who was qualified members to serve on the board. But it would be the same process that is used in Portland and Eugene.
Okay. Second question.
Yes, please.
The second question is the 7-year moratorium. I'm not going to stand in the way of this bill, but I have I'm curious why a 7-year moratorium.
Well, speaking on behalf of the board.
And your name for the record.
Excuse me, Representative McLean and Representative Evans. Speaking on behalf of the Transit Board, there was negotiations that went on in the development of this bill, and although we were we worked with Senator Courtney to put this bill together, and so this was a compromise over earlier forms of the bill. There were the moratorium went several directions as far as the number of years were concerned, and we sort of came to this number as a compromise. It's not the best, but I think everybody that's involved is willing to accept it. So, and the other issue is looking at Senate Bill 2017 that will provide new money for transit. We're still like 14 months away before we will be improving services because of the revenue coming from that bill. And we figure we're not going to be in a position to justify asking for an increase for probably 4 to 5 years because we have to show what we're doing with the 2017 money. So it logically is not a bad thing to go for 7 years because we're going to have to do some planning before that, before we can implement the tax anyway. So it's a little farther than the Transit Board would like, but it's a compromise that we're willing to work with. So that's okay.
Thank you. Representative Bile.
I likewise am not inclined to stand in the way of passage on this, but I have to admit I'm puzzled. I just still have not heard a reason why an appointed board is better than an elected board. I get the financial part and bringing it into line with the rest of the larger districts in terms of how we structure ourselves financially makes a lot of sense to me. But why is the governance going to be better because the governor appointed our folks rather than they got elected?
Okay, I think we have a question.
Well, Madam Chair, I apologize. Our city councilor, Tom Anderson, was unable to be here today. He served on the Lane Transit Board and gave actually really quite good testimony. It's on the record regarding that. But my recollection of his discussion was essentially this kind of board, which deals in a very specific governance area, is not some sort of broad policy-making board. It deals really specifically, and the expertise that can be brought to the board becomes very important. And he described how it works so well in his experience as an appointed member of the Lane Transit Board. And it was pretty compelling testimony. I wish I could remember all of it or had a copy of it, but it actually, I thought, was quite a good explanation of the difference between elected and appointed in terms of bringing a focus expertise onto a board like this, dealing in a fairly technical area. This isn't some broad policy area. This becomes fairly technical for these boards. And so the expectation of representation becomes far more exacting. We see it at other kinds of boards, certainly in the state. Also, this is an elected board. I happen to have been around when this was formed, and it's an elected board. I think when you look at the law itself, your first question ought to be, why didn't Salem Kaiser Mass Transit or Transit System look exactly like Portland or the metropolitan area and Lane Transit? And the reason was there was a real push to keep away from the kind of taxation that's being discussed in 7 years. That's really what happened then. And there was effective lobbying that went on here in the Capitol to stop from having exactly the same kind of program. This really is the future of Salem Kaiser Transit Service, is to follow exactly that model and try to get in line with both Lane and Metro in terms of providing that service. I mean, we're operating right now without Saturday or Sunday service, no evening service. We're the capital of the state of Oregon without the same level of service. This moves us in that direction, actually moves us quite rapidly with the transportation funding bill that you all passed last session and its allocation to transit districts. So I hope that's helpful, but that's kind of what we see happening.
Follow up, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you, Mayor. I really appreciate that. And again, as I said before, I'm absolutely in favor of restructuring the funding system so that it's consistent with these larger transit districts. I'm not yet convinced that the governor of Oregon is in a better position than the mayor of Salem to appoint members of a local transit district, or for that matter, I'm not sure that the governor of Oregon is in a better position to appoint than the local folks are to elect. But I appreciate your observation.
Thank you.
Are there any other questions for our panel? Did you have one?
No, actually, Venables? It would be redundant with what was just said.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, at this time then, I appreciate your comments and thank you for being here today. We've asked our questions, and so I am going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1536A, and I am going to open a work session on Senate Bill 1536A. Are there any comments, any other discussion? Yes, please.
I have a comment, but yes. If we're at that point.
Yeah, we're at that point.
As a measure.
I have a comment, too, or a question. But
yeah.
So the comment is twofold. Number one, I don't like the 7 years. I don't think that that is great. I have a concern that in 7 years there'll be another argument of why certain things shouldn't happen. But I'm not going to stand in the way of the bill. And in fact, I would request that I would be one of the co-carriers for the bill so I could make that part of the legislative intent, that this is bringing things into alignment so that that board will have the full spectrum of capacities once they're enshrined.
Okay, thank you very much. Representative Meek.
Well, yeah, I was just, don't want to preclude this from moving forward, but very curious as to, you know, if any elected official, especially related to the expertise of this, that most of them would be self-selected or even nominated, you know, by a local business chamber or the folks in the community, and that the voters, you know, would seem reasonable to be able to select the, you know, representative based on their qualifications. And so I'm just curious if we're fixing a problem or if we're just, you know, or I agree that maybe even the mayor should be the one that should be the one appointing these officials. So I just, that was just, I just wanted to put that on the record that I still have little, you know, concern or question about this process.
Okay, yes, Representative Nobles.
Thank you, Chair. My comments really are similar to what was asked earlier. I do have some concerns with taking local control at its most local and base in the electorate and moving it to the governor. And if it needs to be appointed, it seems to me be more appropriate at a mayor or county commission level. I understand the technical expertise, but I think we need to tread carefully with that because we have other districts in this state that are very technical, from water districts to 911 PSAPs, and those are typically filled again by the electorate. And I think we just need to be careful how much local control we take and hand off to the head of the state of Oregon.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, at this time, I haven't taken a motion because I want to make sure everybody's comfortable voting on this bill today. And if you're not, we can hold it over till Wednesday and vote on that day. If you are comfortable, then I'm going to ask Representative Meek as our vice chair to make a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I make a motion to move House Bill, or Senate Bill 1536A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Vice Chair Meek has moved to send to the floor with a due pass recommendation, Senate Bill 1536A. Okay, I'd like to have the clerk read the roll, please.
Representative Bonham.
Aye.
Representative Evans.
Yes.
Representative Noble.
Aye.
Representative Salinas.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Witt.
Aye.
Vice Chair Meek.
Aye.
Vice Chair Vile.
Aye.
Chair McClain.
Aye. Thank you very much. And 1536A passes. Thank you. And yes, please, Representative Evans will carry it.
I appreciate that.
Is that okay, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Well, thank you very much for getting up early, and thank you for helping us get our business done today. We are going to have a meeting on Wednesday, and we are going to have an informational meeting, and also our the vice chairs are meeting with me today so we can talk a little bit more about if there are some other informational types of presentations we'd like to be able to have in some of the meetings that we have left available to us. If there's something you want them to talk about, make sure you let Representative Vile and Representative Meek know that. And I think we're meeting at 12:30 today. And I would like to ask, please, if staff would talk a little bit about Wednesday's agenda.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. So Wednesday, we are going to have the Department of Transportation come present a report that was issued last month regarding House Bill 2017 had a requirement that there be a report on the cost of completion study for the Abernethy Bridge and the I-205 widening project. So the ODOT's going to come present that report on Wednesday, Madam Chair.
And I want to make a distinction that we're getting the update, and then the Joint Transportation Committee will be getting the actual report delivered to them. And I'm trying very diligently to make sure that we are very well versed on all transportation issues. And so even though sometimes we're going to have reports at both the Joint Transportation Committee and the House Policy Transportation Committee, I think that makes us more educated folks. So that's why we're doing it at both committees. So we get the update, they get the final. Does that sound okay?
So are there no other transportation bills coming to this committee from the Senate?
At this point, we're not.
Yeah.
We don't think
yeah,
so.
Madam Chair, it does not look likely that any more transportation bills will be coming our way.
Okay.
we'll keep our ears open, and you know, we'll make sure that if there's something that comes over, we get right to it.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
And there's a question for the committee analyst to research among the LRPO or LPR or whatever it is. In the past, committees could borrow a bill for public hearings. If there's bills that are out there, that could be kind of fun.
Well, I think parliamentary procedure is always interesting, and so we certainly...
Madam Chair, certainly, if nothing else, the committee has the ability to schedule an informational meeting on the topic of a bill that's also out there. Yeah. It's a little more problematic to borrow it for public hearing purposes, but it's always easy to schedule an informational meeting mm-hmm. on the topic that another bill covers.
And I always want to use this, you know, all of our time well, yep. and I like educational types of panels, so if you're with us on this. Yes, please, Representative Wilson.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you. I wanted to check, I have not asked yet, are you in receipt or is the committee in receipt of my request for an informational hearing on our railroads, especially ridership since the
yes.
tragic derailment?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And we put it on the list, and we'll be talking about that today.
Thank you.
We actually had a request about both freight train movement in the United States as well as Oregon, and then the one on safety for passenger trains. So we've got both of those on. We might be able to do a big train day.
So. I've got some bridge and major highway folks that have done public-private partnerships yes. wanting to come as well. So.
And that is on the list. So again, if you have any others, please feel free to give us those ideas before 12:30 today. Well, thank you very much. And is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, we will close the meeting for February 19th.